Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to an NFL no huddle. Back into some of the audio from Flowery Branch yesterday. Dan Quinn meeting with the media. Matt Ryan as well. We'll get into all that coming up in 20 minutes, top of the 11 o'clock hour. Before we do that, though, Braves with an early game today. So our Braves insider, Joe Patrick, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, been kind of a weird last couple nights at the ballpark, huh? Obviously, one game doesn't even end officially, and then they call it after 2 hours of rain. Last night, another long rain delay, and then it ends in extra innings. You've been spending a lot of time up there at SunTrust Park.
Yeah, weird is one way to describe it. I've been getting in my car at about 2 a.m. the last couple nights, so it's been a little bit draining on my sleep schedule, but it's been fun, you know. Can't complain too much.
And certainly with them winning the first three games of the series and the way they've won the last two as well, last night with the walk-off from Ozzie Albies, it's pretty incredible how often this team does that, even when they get behind. Do you get a sense when you talk to them after wins like last night, just about where that belief comes from, that even when they're down, like they were down 5-1 and Acuna hits the game-tying homer a few days ago, why they just believe so much that they're always in games?
Yeah, I mean, so many guys on this team just want to be in those situations at the end of games where the game is on the line and it's their job to you know, get a hit or drive in the winning run or something like that. We were talking to some of the guys last night. Austin Riley and Ozzie Albies both had, you know, Austin Riley's home run wasn't game-winning, but it was game-saving, certainly.
Yep.
The game was on the line with him up at bat, and he hits the home runs to take it into extra innings. And these guys just love to compete, and they love to be in those situations. And we've talked about it, especially with Austin Riley. You know, his fellow players and Brian Snicker both say, you almost have to expect him to come through in those situations. They say he's been clutch since his days at Rome with the Rome Braves. He's been the same exact way. So it's really fun to see.
Well, Joe, you were right about Gosman. He did say something was going to go down, and it's such a convenience that it was, you know, an IL type thing. But we were just talking to Joe, and Nick yesterday was talking about letting Austin Riley figure it out and everything. And me and Andy were thinking, you know what, of all the position players that come up as a young guy, they struggle. He lets them figure it out. Why do you think that's not the case with some of these young pitchers?
You know, I think there's more competition with the pitching, with how many young pitchers the Braves have, and I think that, you know, with the hitters, you need to have consistency. You need to be in there every single day seeing pitches, like Brian Snicker said. And with pitching, you know, especially as a starter, you're coming up every 5 days, and it's hugely important, not just what you do from a you know, perspective of how many runs you give up, but if you can't last into a game, then you're taxing the bullpen. Your poor performance is affecting a lot of other players on the team, as opposed to if a hitter just goes out and strikes out three or four times in a game, you know, so be it. But it's not really going to have a long-lasting impact, where if you're a starter and you cannot get through these innings, it is having an impact 2, 3, 4 games down the road.
I know that we've been speculating as to what it's going to mean for the starting rotation when Dallas Keuchel finally gets here. He's going to be one of the starters. And the thought was, from us, was it was going to be at the expense of either Gausman or Folty. Folty hasn't been good either, and we know that Newcomb's going to make a start coming up. Is there a chance that both Gausman and Folty end up out of the starting rotation with Keuchel on his way?
Well, I think Folty's still okay. He has some credibility, you know, still with the team. Obviously, coming off an all-star season last year, I think that there is reasons to suspect that he will improve from where he is now. And I think that, you know, from a physical standpoint, it's been a struggle for him early in the season. And I think things are, you know, at least I think the Braves think things are starting to turn with him. I know the results aren't quite there with his performances so far, but I think they're seeing that he's feeling better. His pitches are getting a little bit more break. His swing and miss percentage is actually still very good. He's getting a lot of swinging strikes. So those are all good signs. It's just the final numbers haven't been there. So I think Fulte's still safe, but, you know, who knows? Maybe they go out and try to trade for another starting pitcher. Madison Bumgarner has been a guy that's been heavily rumored to potentially come to the Braves. Obviously, those have quieted down a bit since the news of Keuchel. But, you know, Fulte is pretty much the lowest now on the pecking order, I would say. But I think he's still relatively safe, considering that I think it would be pretty surprising if the Braves did go out and trade for another starting pitcher.
Well, Joe, and to that point, I mean, this guy Luke Jackson and Mentor and Tomlin and Webb and all these guys, are we just stuck with them right now, or do you think it might get better as far as making a move to bring somebody else in? Because right now it just seems like, you know, Snick just can't figure out who to put there in late-game situations.
Yeah, I mean, I think this team still needs a closer. I mean, we've talked about this for a while now. You know, Luke Jackson, hey, statistically, you know, when the guys who judge, you know, go in-depth on the analytics of, you know, the spin rate on his pitches and how much it's breaking, he's very good. He's very good. But the results have not been there as a closer, and I don't think he's what he's best suited to that role as a closer, considering he's basically a two-pitch pitcher. And he's almost a one and a half pitch pitcher. He's going to throw sliders about 80% of the time, and he'll just mix in a fastball every now and then. So I think with a closer, you want someone who's a little bit more diversified in that respect. And I think you're right. You know, if you get a closer in and you have a guy like Luke Jackson in your setup role, then I think you're looking pretty comfortable there. I think the bullpen does deserve some credit. Obviously, you know, Luke Jackson gives up the home run in the ninth inning last night, but the bullpen pitched six innings last night and only gave up, two runs in those six innings. So pretty good performance from the guys as a group. It just seems like, you know, every so often, you know, you're giving up those runs in those clutch situations, like you mentioned. And I think that if you bring in a real bona fide closer, that helps secure a lot of those ales.
Yeah, that's the thing with Luke Jackson that always, I think actually probably makes me laugh more than anything, is you see the obvious stuff that I mean, well, yeah, his stuff is good, but then you see the obvious results that you don't have to be a mathematician to understand. He comes into games in important spots and guys hit home runs off of him. Now the spin rate on his curveball might be really good, and he's getting, I know Knox Bardeen wrote an article for our website about how unlucky he's been in some of those spots, and maybe I'm just too simple. I would like to have a closer who has good luck instead of a closer who has bad luck. And I also think sometimes you throw pitches that put yourself in position to have bad luck. But no, you're right. There are people that make those arguments. But that's why I don't think you can quantify in every situation guys that are fit to be in the closing role and guys that may just have good stuff and be fit to be long relievers. And to me, and this is just based on the results that I've seen this year from Luke Jackson, he seems like a guy who is not fit to be a closer in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I always go back to the interview that you guys did with John Smoltz earlier this season where he talked about this situation. And I think, you know, it's no surprise. You don't see many, you know, World Series teams or teams really contending at the top of the league that are just kind of are breaking in a first-time closer. You know, in that role, you need someone who's been there, done that, experienced the ups and experienced the downs. And I think that, like, right now, Luke Jackson's getting some great experience for the future, kind of being in this role, being in these very high leverage situations. But if the Braves are really going to try to contend, that's not what you want in there. You don't want to try to be blooding in a new closer. Right. You know, you want someone bona fide who you know can get the job done. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that they will still look. I think they're definitely still interested in adding one more arm to that bullpen at the end of the bullpen to try to secure all these things.
Joe, last one for me. I know you're not in every other clubhouse around the league or whatever, but we were kicking this around. Do you think the Braves have the deepest lineup in baseball right now?
It's got to be up there. I mean, now with some of these guys getting hot, especially a guy like, you know, Ozzie Albies, who's really seemed to figure out something from the left side of the plate. You know, he hit two opposite field home runs from the left side, which when I looked up on Fangraphs, I couldn't find a time where he's ever hit an opposite field home run from the left side in his life. When he's batting left-handed, he just seems to be like a straight pull hitter.
Yeah.
And it just shows, you know, like, if he's doing that, I mean, that is some crazy, crazy dynamism you have in that lineup. Ozzie Albies is batting eighth, you know? It's just crazy. you've got Acuña at the top and Ozzie Albies at the bottom. There's not an easy spot the Braves lineup, except for maybe the catcher spot and who's batting seventh or something. But, you know, they're heavily guarded, and yeah, there's, and the other thing about this team is not only can they hit, but they can run, they're athletic, right. They can do all the things you need from the top to the bottom of the lineup.
Joe, just like 15 seconds here, so it's a quick answer. But with Joe Musgrove on the mound today and Josh Donaldson batting fourth, will they fight?
Please.
Yeah, who knows? I hope we see some fireworks.
Me too.
Let's just, yeah, if you're going to get suspended, make it worth it.
Exactly.
All right, Joe, we appreciate it, man. Have a
appreciate
great Thursday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.